AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another huge night of European qualification action. St Mirren and Kilmarnock both in Norway looking to progress after draws in the first leg. There will be no away fans at the next two Old Firm games, despite an agreement that wouldn't be the case. And Adam Ida doesn't think the big price tag adds any pressure to his Celtic return. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have your usual Thursday duo of Gordon Dl and Mark Wilson.
We've been spoiled this week. Tuesday we're preparing for the Rangers game.
I thought you
tonight
meant being together.
Well, being together, the public have been spoiled with having us two here. But tonight we've got Kilmarnock and St Mirren. Kilmarnock just kicked off in the Arctic Circle, and both games finally poised. I'm sure both managers would have looked for a better result going into this one, but they're far from over and every chance of going through.
Yeah, it's a big night for both Kilmarnock and St Mirren. I think they're up against it away from home. The tie's still firmly in the balance, but I seen a little bit of the St Mirren game second half after the show last week, and I thought Brand looked absolutely terrific, and I thought St Mirren were quite lucky to go over there with a draw. But look, football can bring up some surprises, and we wish them all the very best tonight. And then obviously we're looking forward to the cup at the weekend and a lot of exciting games ahead.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Give us a call right now, get them in nice and early. For you St Mirren and Kilmarnock fans, maybe you're too nervous, maybe you're watching from behind the couch, you want to shout at the TV, well, shout at us instead. We'll keep you up to speed on what's happening in those games. Goalless at the moment, remember. Kilmarnock 2-2 from the first leg, St Mirren 1-1 from the first leg. Adam Ida, the news of his signing, we said it's been the transfer saga of the summer. News of the confirmed signing broke during last night's show, so now you've had the chance to fully get to grips with it. Celtic fans, give us all your thoughts and we'll hear from him. He did his first press conference since returning to the club today, and we'll let you know what he had to say. But give us all your thoughts surrounding that move. It's day two of the inquest for you Rangers fans. How are you feeling now? Have you calmed down any after Tuesday night's disappointment? How are you looking at things now? I wonder if maybe you're even more frustrated as the week goes on. Sometimes that can happen. You're building up to the cup at the weekend against St Johnstone. So all your thoughts please, same number, 0141 951 1025. And everybody's favourite topic, ticket allocations for Old Firm games. How many times have we been here? Even when we thought we had an agreement last season, remember, we all said, that's great, none of this anymore, we'll move forward, we'll have away fans back. That is now not the case, and there will be none at the next two games. Give us your thoughts. I'm slowly losing the will to live on that topic, but I appreciate it's a big deal and we'll keep coming back for more.
Just remind me,
every time it rears its head.
What was the agreement again?
5% or something?
Was it a 5%?
No, it was, I think it was less than that, but it was certain number in every.
And that's just been taken off the table both.
We'll get to the detail. We'll get to the detail as we go on.
Okay. Who started?
Don't go too early.
You know what? Important see, when I see lesson it in social media now, I just scroll by it because I'm just sick of it and I can just never see it getting back.
Should we admit that? Should we not show huge enthusiasm for every big Scottish football news story? I'm torn.
But it's it's not that big a story nowadays. It was when it came out.
But it is.
But until any significant steps are taken, then I'm not interested.
Right, well, this is a significant step backwards.
I don't like moonwalking.
Anyway, 01419511025. Moon men, right enough here, taking your calls on that number. So get in touch, let us know what you're thinking. If you're a Killy fan, St Mirren fan, you're on about the game, Celtic or Rangers fans, argue till your hearts are content about the ticket allocation or lack of. We're going to hear from Adam Ida, Celtic fans, Rangers fans. 2 days on, have you calmed down any? Does the picture look any better ahead of this season, or are you starting to worry even more? Give us a call, 01419511025. It's funny, you just fall into that trap, don't you? You hear that Kilmarnock are playing in the Arctic Circle, and you think that Derek McInnes is going to need to have like a snowsuit on and a ski mask. It looks perfectly lovely, much nicer than it was here today. And Brian have taken the lead against St Mirren. We had the feeling that they were the ones that were going to be up against it, didn't we?
Gordon, I watched them last week. They're a step above. St Mirren have been terrific. I know they got a poor result at Pittodrie, but to be fair, Aberdeen have started the season very well indeed. But I watched the second half at a neighbour's house, and I've got to say, they were.
Why? Like, this is the bit I don't understand about you. Why do you need to throw in that lie?
No, he's a big St.
Just say
fan.
You watched it though.
I know.
What did the bit about the neighbour's house?
Well, I was just saying that the St. Mirren, I was talking about St. Mirren.
Clearly not and, true.
Wait, what did the two of you watch after that? What are our three channels? Has he got?
There. Well, it's a good film. But I was very impressed with them. They dominated most of the game, and it was always going to be difficult, and that's the worst possible start if you're a St. Mirren fan. But look, they've got a danger, St. Mirren, and they're well disciplined, but I think it's got to be a big ass tonight.
I mean, interrupted my big weather update from the Arctic Circle, which I don't appreciate either, but Kilmarnock's still in this. We did sense, Mark, just purely, I think purely based on the Norwegian league table and what we saw in the first leg, Kelly should have a better chance.
Yeah.
Brann are much better than Tromso, quite frankly.
Yeah, Tromso flirting around in the bottom space. It's a league I know well, Gordon, from my time at Sarpsborg 08 when I went over there. No, that.
Seriously?
Aye. They're sitting about seventh in the table.
I actually think that's news to me as well.
Sarpsborg are
after
about seventh in the
table. All these years, I thought I'd heard all the stories to come out.
Did you play with them? I'll say play loosely.
Right.
Because after I left Celtic.
Did you have a club visit?
I went there and trial. Brian Dean was the manager. Remember Brian Dean for Leeds? Picked me up at the airport and took me and had a lovely week.
Dropped you back off.
No thanks. They were playing in AstroTurf, and I says, look, Brian, it's no good for my knees. He said, thank goodness you said that, because you're no good for us. That was it. So I spent some time there. It was a lovely part of the world, though. Good experience in Norwegian football.
About, didn't he?
But anyway, Sarpsborg sits
not
in between.
Not enough mountains here, Brian.
It was lovely. But obviously, Tromso, further down the league, Brann higher up. We saw that last week with how they played. So Kelly started okay, by the way. And they've went attacking. What attacking players on there? Derek's went for Wales and Vassell up front, Armstrong and Kennedy on either wing. So it's going all out.
Brian Dean, just one of those guys that will just forever be a quiz question answer.
Who didn't sign me?
Well, listen, there's a lot out there.
Quiz question answer is Brian Dean. It's like the most stereotypical quiz question you hear.
Is it sung about money?
Who scored the goal for Leeds to win the... No.
Maybe not to you two. First ever English Premier League goal.
Was it?
Oh, that is well known.
By the way, I'm sure he bowled me in the car when he picked me up at the airport. Something about that.
Are you sure of that?
Yes.
92?
Mm-hmm.
92.
Was Man City not the first game in the English Premier League?
I don't know if it was 0-0. No, it was Leeds against Middlesbrough.
Is that well known? That's great knowledge.
It's well known to everybody else apart from you two. Kilmarnock have taken the lead. Now we're talking Tromso 0, Kilmarnock 1. The band of Killy fans have braved the trip to the Arctic Circle are loving that, and rightly so. They did strike early in the first leg and they've done it again. I'm just looking, is that Joe Wright who's taken the acclaim after the weekend that he's had?
Well, what a start it is anyway. I did say that. Well, they had plenty of attacking players in there, but we hear now it's a set piece anyway that led to the goal. What a start. Derek McInnes, by the way, said, was yesterday saying, by the way, Tromso aren't firm favourites for this. We'll give it a right good go. And what a way to start. Brilliant.
Anyway, 01419511025. We'll keep you up to speed on that. Good start, Kelly. Not so good start, St Mirren. And we'll see how we get on as the show progresses. Very nice of them to arrange the 6 o'clock kickoffs, just so that we can keep an eye on things throughout the show. Anyway, Charlie's in Clydebank, just along the road. How are you, Charlie?
Hi, guys. Good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
So it was just regarding the Adam Eadie signing tonight. Obviously, news has broke yesterday regarding the price tag. So my thoughts are on it. I actually think it's really good news, to be honest. I know there's a bit of debate with the Celtic support at the moment. Some people are saying it's a bit overpaid. You know, there was a kind of 5-7 million price on it. But for me, I think it's a good statement from the Celtic board as well. We know that he can do it. I think last season when he came in, he showed that he can perform in a Celtic jersey. And to be honest, in my opinion, he was actually the catalyst, which I think helped Celtic win the double. You know, I think you look at his goals last year. I mean, I know, I think he scored, I think it was 9 goals in 19 games.
Yep.
And but I think the goals that you look that he scored in, they were very important ones. I think his double at Easter Road, obviously that last minute penalty as well. His double at Motherwell, another last minute winner. His goals against Rangers. So I think he's a big game player, and I even think that he can stand up and do well in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, we knew two were on Tuesday. Mm. It still wasn't confirmed. We were starting to wonder if it would ever be confirmed. Last night, as we said, it broke, and Charlie puts up a good case, doesn't he, as to the impact and the desire that was clearly shown to get him back.
I don't get caught up in the price tag. Look, Norwich are within their rights. It was their player. They know that Celtic are, and everybody tells us, cash rich. So they're going to hold out for the best deal. Brendan Rodgers, that was his number one target as a centre forward. It took a long time to get over the line. Yes, it's a bit pricey considering everybody thought it would be a £5-6 million deal. But there are add-ons as well. And if the add-ons, you know, mount up, then he's achieved what he's obviously set out to achieve at Celtic. So it'll benefit Celtic and obviously Norwich and the player. So I think it's a real good bit of business, Gordon. I really do. Yes, they might have had to fork out maybe just a little bit more than what they intended to do. But sometimes you've just got to do that. He's at a right age. He's got a long-term contract. He knows the club. Charlie's quite right. He's come in, he's hit the ground running. He's a fans hero already, just scoring that goal in the cup final. I think that's good business.
How do you think he fits in, Charlie? Same as last season? Does he eventually go above Kyogo? What's your thoughts just before see them?
I think he goes above Kyogo, to be honest now. I mean, I think that he is kind of looking back to Brendan Rodgers' first spell as well. We're bringing in Moussa Dembele. Obviously, Lee Griffiths was maybe put to the sidelines a wee bit, and I believe that similar thing's going to happen. I think to kind of equal or break that transfer record, I don't think he can sit on the bench every week.
Well, I don't think he'll go above Kyogo, but I don't think he'll sit on the bench every week. I think there's room. I was listening to the show last night. I think there's room for both of them to play. The volume of games Celtic get through, they can chop and change it. I'm pretty sure there might be periods where you will see both of them on the pitch and Kyogo may drop deeper and Ida will wood the line. What it does do is it makes Celtic more a more unpredictable team to play against. If you're coming up against Kyogo for 90% of the season, you know, teams do their homework. They understand the way Kyogo plays, even though he's very hard to stop and he's so mobile. They can adopt a certain style. Now, Brendan Rodgers showed his hand a bit at Kilmarnock near the tail end of the season, where probably Kilmarnock maybe thought they were going a certain way and he plays Ida. And within 10 minutes of that game, Ida had transformed that game into something Kilmarnock weren't prepared for. That's what Brendan Rodgers has up his sleeve now.
Because I know he got the doubles. Everyone mentions Easter Road. Everyone keeps reminding me of Fir Park. That was arguably his best performance, though, wasn't it? That Rugby Park one.
Yeah, oh, without doubt. I mean, for that opening period. But again, Kilmarnock were set up to play a certain way. I think they were surprised that Ida played. And he was a real focal point. He was that real physical element that Brendan Rodgers asked him to be that night. And he may be asked to play that role. He may be asked to play in the shoulder sometimes. But he can play a variety of ways. Kyogo, you know what you're getting. You're getting somebody that's sharp and off the shoulder and can link the play. So they've got two very good strikers there. I don't necessarily think because he just came in for £9.5 million that spells the end for Kyogo.
I agree with you. And just quickly, Gordon, I think it's a great signing for Kyogo. Because he's a centre-forward. You know a guy's coming into the building that he's been there, he's done it. Everybody likes him. Everybody knows what he's capable of. Mark's right. I think he will play the two of them together, especially domestically. They can do that, no problem.
You don't mean
at all.
Together as in on the pitch at the same time?
Yeah, I think that all day long. Mm. I think Kyogo could play in the number 10 and, you know, Ida could play through the middle. I think domestically...
Just dropping Matt O'Reilly?
If Matt O'Reilly stays. But remember, there's a lot of games they will rotate. Brendan Rodgers has got a good squad there. You've got to rotate. You'll not play the same players week in, week out. So he's got great options, as Mark quite rightly says. But don't write... You know, I know what Charlie's saying. It's a big fee to pay and... You know, the guy's really started his Celtic career brilliantly, 9 goals since January. But Kyogo's a top, top quality centre forward.
Thanks very much to Charlie. Nice way to kick off the show. Let's hear from Adam Ida, who doesn't think there's any added pressure that comes with being one of Celtic's most expensive ever signings. Oh, very quiet from Adam Ida. Can we
hush tones? I like that. I like whisper? To shout to the rooftops.
I'm assuming it's a technical error on our side rather than him whispering. Will we try him one more time, see how he gets on? Let's hope he's louder this time.
No, he is a wee bit louder.
A bit like Robbie Nielsen. And Robbie used to do these interviews. Yeah. Can't hear him.
There are subtitles coming up if you're watching live on the stream.
Let's bring in Tommy, who's in Coatbridge, first and get his take on it. Tommy.
Hi, Dwayne. I've got a couple of points.
Go for it.
Right, first one, Adam Ida.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great signing. Charlie stole my thunder with some of the goals he scored. But what I will say is people are in doubt. A few years back, we didn't go for Stephen, didn't pay the extra money for Stephen Fletcher, and it cost us big time. I think he's a good buy. Brendan Rodgers obviously likes him. He likes his work rate and that. But my main point's about the Celtic Rangers game, about the ticket allocation. Now, I've actually been to all these games at Ibrox. I'm a Celtic fan. I've been to all these games at Ibrox, so I've seen it firsthand. It's not pleasant. I wouldn't take my grandchild there. I'm not saying when the Rangers come to Celtic Park, it's pleasant. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying, it's not pleasant. And if the safety things aren't put in place, as was agreed by both clubs, then I think Celtic are 100% right to take the tickets off. Come the next game, I went to Ibrox and I got a ticket, I would still go, but I know the danger before I go. So I think Celtic's quite within their rights to protect the Celtic supporters. Even though we all want to go, I think that's the right thing to do. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Mark wanted the detail earlier, so I'll bring him up to speed. It's just confirmed that Norway fans at the next two, which is a U-turn. You'll remember last season there was an agreement, and sorry, you're right, it was actually 5%. I thought we'd gone, you know, below that. That was in March, so everyone saw that as like good news. We're eventually, we're not going back to the big allocation before, but we'll take it and we'll sort of move on. But I think the difficulty is all these talks obviously are behind the scenes, right? So you don't know for sure. Rangers issue a statement basically saying that they are taking all the steps towards fulfilling the agreement, the safety measures that they have to put in place. They are surprised by this. They feel like they're on track to do this. But Celtic obviously don't feel that's the case. And so, you know, the truth will be in there somewhere for us mere mortals who are locked on the outside of these discussions. It's sort of difficult to get a definitive on it, but the bottom line is there won't be any fans in the next two. And again, we always take that step back and talk about the spectacle and the atmosphere, and it's a bit of a shame.
Well, of course, shame for the fans himself who enjoy these occasions, shame for the players. We've been over that, that's old ground. But you know what? You'd like to think the clubs were that grown up enough to come up with a compromise. Now, Rangers think there's obviously a problem in there somewhere. And how can it be resolved? You're right in highlighting, Gordon. We don't know the actual detail about the safety issues or how they've addressed that or how they've moved a section over to, you know, keep fans safe. I don't know that because we've not seen the plans in, nor will we probably.
Well, I think Celtic's side of it is they've done their bit, they've done what was promised, that's going to be in place. And the accusation there then, or you know, the implication would be that Rangers don't have those plans in place. That's sort of Celtic's side of it. Rangers' statement, like I said, they're the ones that have gone public with a statement sort of acting surprised, if you will, that's been the case. Or maybe that's the wrong phrase.
Yeah, I think that no matter how you look at it from either side, going first and foremost, all fans should feel safe going to a football game and coming back. We know that. But if you're talking just purely for the football, then I hope that this can be resolved by both of them.
And that's the point. We've said that before.
Yeah, and then further get the fans, because the fans make the game. Let's be honest about it. The fans make this game.
In terms of safety, are we talking about the corner that the Celtic fans sit in? There's obviously a section of the stadium at Ibrox that there's fans above.
I think there's various things about, you know, like even
placing fans in and out.
In and out, as well as when you're in there.
Okay. But in terms of that's been the case at Celtic Park and Ibrox for as long as I can remember. Fans get policed in and policed out, and it's never been a problem. It must be to do with inside the stadium. Now, we've heard reports of Celtic fans being hit with bottles because it's rained down on them. That, in my mind, can only be the problem. And it seems like an easy fix, because you see some of the European occasions at Ibrox in the past where European away fans get that corner and a certain section of that stand where they get the upper tier as well, and it's placed down.
Like I say, though, as part of the agreement, there was just certain measures that had to be put in place. That's the bit that they're disagreeing on currently.
Not like them to disagree.
I was gonna say, maybe we'll never agree on anything ever again. But it's a fair topic to come up tonight. Thanks to Tommy and Coatbridge. If you want to add anything, you can do. If you want to go back to Adam Eda, you can. Rangers fans, we're 2 days in now to the post-mortem after the European qualification debacle. How do you look back on it now? Have you cheered up any, or is it still looking fairly bleak? Killier leading 1-0, that's good. St Mirren trailing 1-0. We'll bring you the latest update next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It is Tromso 0, Kilmarnock 1, which is good news. Bran 1, St Mirren 0, not so good news. I can't believe the revelation that you are a Norwegian football expert.
Yes,
Mark not a Wilson. Well. Andrew McLean has actually been doing a bit of digging, and there are quotes out there.
What's he been listening for? He's not working.
He's always working.
Tell
about
me get out.
Mark Wilson. No, you'll like this.
Okay.
So it's a quote from the Sarpsborg 08 sports director, ooh, Thomas Bernstein, who says, "Do you remember who you were over with on trial?
Richie Ryan.
Did you mention that earlier?
No.
Sorry. So there was a slightly different assessment of the players. Richie Ryan was closer to peak form, but had a lot of the skills we already have. Mark Wilson has been in football training for a long time and was a long way off physically."
Did he say that?
Hold on. How old were you?
27.
Well, I was after.
27.
I think that was more to do with my mate. Knee, because I couldn't take part in some of the sessions because it was
You blamed that knee for every single thing in your career.
I'd left Celtic, and my agent at the time says, "We've got you a move to Norway." Okay, that's that. The next thing he said, "Brilliant." Got on the plane, went. Brian Dean picks me up at the airport. The next day, we go to train, and it's an AstroTurf pitch. And I says, "Is this where you train?" "I don't think I can train." He says, "No, this is where we train and play. Every game's AstroTurf." I said, "Well, I can't play in AstroTurf."
Did you not think to check that out before you went
I would have thought my agent would have before I went.
I mean, every team in that league plays
in
AstroTurf.
Aye, not professionally.
And you're 40 now.
So the games professionally, I didn't play the AstroTurf games like in the tail end of my career. So I got sent there. So I think that's what he meant.
So you went to like an entirely AstroTurfed league.
So I hardly trained with him. At the full week, I maybe done about two sessions, so the body was spot on.
Quite accurate after all. Anyway, 0141951.
Next dead.
0-2-5
Norwegian dud. Sorry, let me correct you there.
A dud in various countries. That's exactly what we're looking for. Right, give us a call if you're on about tickets, as a lot of you I'm sure will be. If you're on about the games tonight, Adam Ida, Rangers fans, I don't think we're quite over Tuesday yet because it clearly rumbles on. So how are you feeling now? Let's bring in Andrew, who's a Rangers fan. I'll maybe put him on the spot about Rangers generally in a second, but you've got tickets on your mind, Andrew. Andrew, can you hear us? It's going brilliant tonight, isn't it? Couldn't hear Adam Ida. Can't hear Andrew in Coat Bridge.
And on with the volume.
It's like three of us are just going to be stuck together.
Okay, I'll tell you some more Norwegian stories if you like.
We try him one more time. Andrew, can you hear us?
Talk us through a training.
By the way, I tell you how expensive it is out there.
Oh, good.
So we used to.
No, wait, it'll go. The price of a pint.
Always.
No,
that's
I was drinking.
That's why it was a long way off it physically.
I was drunk for the full week. Maybe that's what he meant. Andrew, come and save us from more start
No, he's got, I don't know where he is. He's having one. He's gone. So Kelly's still leading 1-0, which is good. That's exactly the start Derek McInnes would have wanted, Gordon. Although, having said that, did get a good start last week as well. So I suppose about learning from that and
left it late. Left it late to equalise, Gordon. He was confident. I was listening to Derek's sort of his press conferences before the game. He sounded confident. He believed in his team. Look, he's not got off to a great start in the league. Difficult game at Fir Park in the Cup and Sunday as well. But all concentrations into this. And so far, Kilmarnock are doing okay. They're holding their own. I think they've got the easier game. As I say, St Mirren are up against a real top quality side. But if Kilmarnock could probably sneak another one, I think they'd be well on the road to qualifying here.
You know what? It's a tenuous link because I came back for that trial and it was the man on the TV, Derek McInnes, who signed me.
And you relegated him.
Well, I got him sacked first and then the club got relegated.
Oh, yeah, he was away. But then Scott's in Govan. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad, pal. How's it going?
Not bad. What are you thinking?
If the news came out last night, we offered to right at the end of the show about the allocation for the two Old Firm games.
Yep.
It had me thinking all night. I sat right next to the away fans at Ibrox, and I'm one of the 5% that's going to move for the two games, home games. I know you were talking earlier about it, and I know that somebody said, well, has it anything to do with outside? I know it's nothing to do with outside Ibrox, because the top half of the Broomland Road gets closed for the Celtic fans. And when they walk across the road for the car park, the police have got all the barriers up. So it's nothing to do with outside. I can only think it's inside. And they get the 5% which teams get at European games, which is 2,500. They get the top and the bottom. So I'm not sure what it's going on about there. I'm thinking, I think Celtic have went to Rangers and said, where are we playing in December or January? Where is it? Is it Ibrox? And Rangers can't answer that right now. They're having to go, they can't guarantee it's going to be at Ibrox. Sitting right now, and I'm wondering if it's more to do with that, because Rangers can't confirm where they're going to be playing that game.
I can imagine somebody somewhere at Ibrox sitting right now listening, saying it's got nothing to do with that, but I can 100% understand why right now you would be looking at that as a possible factor, because until Rangers are, you know, the way it's played out, people are sort of sceptical as to whether Rangers will be back in at the end of this month. Again, a lot of this is because you know, Scott's saying it must be this, it must be that. I know there's talk of like safety netting inside stadium, but then you've seen stuff on social media today about certainly the Celtic Park end of things. They've applied for planning permission for various security fences and gates and whatever outside the stadium. So not all of this is like public, you know, there on record. And the added complication right now is Rangers don't currently play at Ibrox. So lots of people are, rightly or wrongly, going to leap to the conclusion that that's got something to do with it.
Well, I think first and foremost, they've got to expect that they're playing at Ibrox. So the two clubs have got to come to an understanding based on that. And if it had to go any further down the line, near the game, then things would be changed. Like, you'd like to take Rangers, you know, the chairman and you know, the board's word at face value and think that they're going to, is at the end of September or something like that. You've got to think that they're being honest. Of course, that might run on. If it did, would that affect things, do you think, if it was at Hampden? Would there
totally
be
a different discussion?
Would
then,
there be another discussion?
I think, again, and this is the way we tend to operate, you know, sometimes some the clubs, and we know we're like Statement FC in Scotland a bit, and, but sometimes they'll issue statements and sometimes they won't. So right now Rangers have given their side, Celtic haven't, which they're within their rights to do as well. I guess there would be an option right now, if they wanted, if that is the case, for Celtic to say, we were seeking assurances that the game was to be played at Ibrox and Rangers couldn't give us those, if that's the case.
It's an easy win for Celtic if it was the case, yeah.
I mean, speculating should be our national sport.
And the problem is, the next game at Celtic Park's just around the corner.
Much sooner.
Yeah, so they've got to answer. I'd be amazed. I think we would be inundated with calls here if we got to January and Rangers were still playing out of hand. So, obviously, the two teams have decided and they can't agree, which is not surprising. But I just hope in the future they do, because I'd like to see other fans in.
Scott, do you think this will be resolved? Is this a sort of short-term backward step, or is this a sign that this agreement that we come up with in March is actually never going to stick?
No, I think the agreement they come up with was the only way forward. I think the two clubs are still being, and I'm seeing this from a Rangers point of view, I think Celtic are still playing a wee bit petty. Listen, I'm going to be honest here, I've seen the person getting hit, the Celtic fan getting hit at the end of the Celtic game at Ibrox. I've seen that happening, and I can understand how the safety issue comes into it. But the top teams in Europe have came to Ibrox for the 5%, and there's been no bother. All right, it's a different game, different scenario with Celtic. But the other point I was wanting to make was about the net. I know Celtic asked permission for the council to get that net, but did they get permission? Have they been given permission for it?
Again, the honest answer is I don't know. You see the stuff on social media about planning permission. I think, like I said, I thought that was more like structural stuff outside Mark. I think it was like fences and what was it, installation of security gates and fencing alterations and all that sort of stuff. That's the outside bit. Celtic Park and Ibrox might need different things to fulfil this agreement. It's two different places, it's two different sets of circumstances.
Yeah.
So I think once you get to, is there planning permission for the net? And, you know, we're in that sort of granular detail that really...
that we are never going to know. That's going to be held between the clubs and it's very minuscule. But, look, I'm with Scott on the phone about the outside arrangements. I know there's fences put up in stadium developments.
You've got two things. You've got the stadium footprint, you know, kind of roundabout, and then you've got right in there, like, you know, once you're in your seats, what's happening?
Well, I think that's the biggest issue, purely because it's been the most widely reported in terms of these issues, in terms of where the fans are situated in the corners with tiers above them. I just don't understand how a net can fix that. And if we're being brutally honest, yes, of course, a net will catch bottles or larger objects, but smaller objects will still get through.
I mean, this is the type of detail I was hoping to avoid. Yeah. We're now at the size of the holes in the net. I'm unwilling to go there. I think a line needs to be drawn for everyone's sanity. You can talk around those topics if you can. Keep it coming. If that's what you want, that's what you want. That's what we're here for. Still the same scoreline in those games. So hopefully Kilmarnock are on the right track and hopefully St Mirren can get back on theirs. 01419511025. Just before we go any further, let me tell you about this. Yes, let me tell you more about the cash register, because if you win this week, it will be your biggest prize of the year, paid into your bank within the hour. £280,000. Think of the things you could do with that cash in the bank. If you enter now, you need to remember that amount, £280,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523 with the calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. Entries since the lines opened on the 22nd of July have rolled over, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday, so you're running out of time. Make sure you enter. Just answer your phone within the five rings. Make sure you know the cash register amount of £280,000, and it would be in your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's a big night of European qualification action. St Mirren trail 1-0 away to Bran, and Kilmarnock lead 1-0 away to Tromso. So hopefully they both can do the business, both approaching half time, 7 o'clock kickoffs. Let's bring in John and Garthamlock. How are you, John?
Good evening, Mark.
Hi, John.
Hi.
As regards that second yellow card on Tuesday night, Gordon, I heard your explanation last night. Feasible though it is. When VAR came in, their remit was, let's get rid of most of the controversial decisions. Now, if it's not an automatic red card and the VAR official says, no, wait a minute, that's wrong. Let's get the referee out and have a look at that. And then he comes over and he says, oh, wait a minute, I think I made it, I've got that wrong. Let's have a look. No, it's okay, no, it's not a red card. What's the difference between sending them out for the second yellow card, saying, look, you better have a quick look at this because you made a wrong decision here? That wouldn't take... I heard one of your pundits last night saying, I have to stop the game. It doesn't. Because, let's at the end of the day, if you get the correct decision, it doesn't matter how long the game stopped, as long as it's the correct decision. And that wasn't the correct decision, far from it.
No, but I think it's based on the notion of, like, they can't check every yellow card, so therefore... Because that would take too long, and therefore you don't check any. Listen, I get it, John. When it plays out exactly the way it did the other night, then you and millions other like you across the globe will say, "Why?" Like, you know, I'll be frustrated that you can't look at it. But VAR's been in England for 5 years. It's been across world football before that. You've never been able to look at second yellows. It's just not in VAR's remit. So I suppose the question is, should it be? The bit that I raised last night is,
it could flip itself, couldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. If you don't know, I don't think anyone wants to see it able to look at every yellow, right? We would acknowledge that because it's too long. So the comparison I gave last night, this is where world football's maybe in a bit of a pickle, is if your first yellow is really, really soft and should never stand, but then your second one is nailed on, it's a clear yellow card, okay, you can review that one, but you're still sent off even though your first yellow. So they're in this middle ground. Fine, I think they were looking at it, by the way. I think they are. You can review second yellows, but it still won't, people can then still be sent off for two yellows when one of them is a harsh decision. Just depends which way around there.
Yeah, but I totally agree with what you said. You could flip it around with your first one, but I think in the circumstances, that second yellow, and there's a slight debate, and there weren't a slight debate because it was never a foul in a million years, let's be honest about it. I think you've got to take the time to say, right, the VAR must step in. I'd like to see that happen. I know that we don't want the game to drag on, but we're in that studio sometimes and the games are still going on at 5 o'clock at night, never been known. But if it comes to the right decision in such important games as well, and I know every game's important, whether it's points or, you know, European games for the amount of money and everything, and I'm not just saying this because it's one of our Scottish clubs and it's Rangers. I do believe there's a case in an instance like that the other night to go and review it.
What about if you introduce a challenge in that situation that to alleviate the problem that you say there about the first yellow card? So if you get a really soft first yellow card and then your second is a yellow card and you get sent off, at that point you can say, well, hang fire, I've got one challenge.
But now
he's going to have a sin bin in a minute.
There you go. how long would it take them to go back and say you're booked in the 38th minute for something really soft?
But what happens if you use your challenge early and then that blatant
one? No, you can only use it if you get two yellow cards. Yellow cards and you think I've been harshly done by.
And you wonder how you get sent home from Norway.
I think that fixes the problem. Instead of moaning about it, I'm coming up with a solution.
No, but to be fair, I think that there was a discussion last year, IFAB were thinking about it, that you can do that because, like I said, when the cards fall that way, like it did the other night, and it will have happened before, but this is a really good example for us. It's fresh in the memory, a big game, one of our bigger clubs. When it happens like that, you think, why can you not just check that monitor and then the player doesn't get sent off? All I was trying to explain was that the sort of the basis of that idea is if you can't review every yellow card, because why would you? Mm-hmm. Just don't review any. That's clearly where it's come from when it was born, but you'd definitely like to see it change then, John.
Hello, Gordon.
Yeah.
Just a wee quick point. When VAR was sitting, the VAR official sitting there, there are no any pals with the referee, well, they're not supposed to be. Now, he's obviously seen that referee's performance on the night. It was diabolical, by the way. If a Rangers player went within 2 yards of a Kiev player and the Kiev player went down, foul. And if a Kiev player went near a Rangers player and went down, he was looking for his blind dog. Honest to God, it's shocking, that referee. How does he get these games, by the way? Who picks these people?
Well, UEFA pick them.
That's shocking. They might have a look at ourselves.
And that's why we should appreciate our own referees.
Considering the amount of money that teams are playing for, and you expect to play better players, you expect better officials. That was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that... I get that, but you can see how many you see bad refereeing decisions all over the place. I'm not quite over the non-award of a penalty on Stuart Armstrong in the Euros. That's the highest level of international competition. They should have the best refs. You know, I kind of take where you're. I know you're partly joking, but you know,
I wasn't serious.
This will come up here, and it'll be we should have full-time refs because you know they won't make mistakes. It just doesn't happen. You get in, we're talking Champions League, we're talking Euros, watch the World Cup, watch whatever level you make, you get terrible refereeing decisions. And this notion of, you know, who's picking these, that doesn't go anywhere. UEFA pick the refs, they might give you a raw deal and they might not.
Yeah, and the problem is you've got to accept it, Gordon, unfortunately, for Rangers. I can't tell you if they went on and won the game 11-11. Obviously, everybody agrees they would have had a far better chance. But unfortunately for Rangers, the decision went against them.
It's a hard one to take because of the finances involved in it as well. Any game's hard to lose, but when that comes at a critical point, of course, you think who picks these and how can it be fair? But unfortunately, it's the way of it. It's been the way of it before VAR came in. We moaned about referees and the decisions on the day. Now we're moaning that we've got video technology and they're still not getting it right. It will never change. We hope that we minimise the amount of mistakes, but there's still absolute howlers out there that's going to cost your side.
What about away from the ref, John? How are you feeling about things currently?
Absolutely shocking. And this is all stemming for the move for Ibrox. Everything regards Rangers today is stemming for this move for Ibrox to Hampden. This, the team, the morale, the supporters, the whole shooting match. Now, what we've heard is that somebody gets sacked to go to their good looks because of the carry-on at Ibrox. We don't know the ins and outs of the board. But what we do need, and I'll say this much before I finish here, Gordon, tonight, and thanks very much for my call, John Bennett needs to stand forward in here and take charge of this situation and give us supporters a bit more belief in our team again. Things are happening at Ibrox that we've not got a clue about, but John Bennett knows. So he's the man in charge. He should be standing forward and leading the club properly. Yeah, thanks very much, Gordon.
Thank you, John. Thanks for taking the time. The fallout from Tuesday, you can blame the ref to a point, of course. Blame who you like, but I think a lot of Rangers fans are already looking at a bigger picture and saying, well, Hampden clearly played a part because there was empty seats and lots of them. What does that do financially? What does it do for your players on the pitch? Yes, recruitment has been done to a point, but Tierney wasn't able to start the game the other night, still relying on the same players in certain other areas. there is a whole scattergun approach of negativity right now.
And I understand why. Rangers gave away their advantage the other night in Europe. You know, you go away from home. Yes, look, they were playing on neutral ground as well. So fair play to them. But Rangers got a good result, 1-1. You're not telling me if that's Ibrox on Tuesday night, 50,000 packed there. Mark will tell you, atmosphere to players mean everything. It just gives you that sort of energy that you didn't think you had. Rangers have been known to be terrific in European nights at Ibrox. It wasn't the same. Their home comfort's away. Now, I've heard all the arguments about, well, it's Hampden, it's a big pitch, you've 11v11, it's the same for both, you've just got to go on with it. Nonsense. You're giving away a bit of your advantage. And in a game that was so important for financial reasons as well, that could have helped to manage their strength in the squad, I think Rangers really missed the boat there. I think they gave up so, so much.
I think, Mark, we said it's a number of things, though, that might play a part. But then you've got underperforming players, not the right level of recruitment, maybe, according to some fans, questionable tactics from the manager. Then this is all coming together to create a pretty grim mood amongst Rangers fans at a really, really early part of the season.
Yeah, without doubt. And the stadium is the big talking point. Of course it is, because it stares right in your face. But you scratch away the surface and you're right. Again, we're talking about the team performances, individuals within that team, the manager's tactics, manager's selection to go and win a game and play your strongest team, and you leave Tierney on the bench, you bring him on, and within, what is it, 6 minutes, you're down to 10 men. We spoke about it on Tuesday night. You know, you start with your strongest team, but dictated by sports science, that's a worry for Rangers fans, I think.
Okay, apologies to James, who I think was on the line, but we need to head to the news. We'll try and catch up with James later, and it's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
1-0 to Killy at the break, 1-0 to Bran against St Mirren at the break. So both in the balance, and hopefully both can do the job after the restart. But for us, it's Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking forward to this. 01419511025. Call before 7 and you could be taking on Gordon Diehl, or for the first time this season, Mark Wilson. Get in touch.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diehl and Mark Wilson are in the building, both waiting for you to get in touch. Usual number, usual Twitter handle, X handle. We're looking for all your thoughts on a number of topics. St Mirren are trailing at the break in their Euro qualifier. Killy are leading at the break, both 1-0. Adam Ida is speaking today, has spoken today for the first time as a Celtic player. What do you make of his signing? A permanent Celtic player, I should say. Ticket allocations for the next two Old Firm games. We've done that before. We're back again. Rangers fans, 2 days in, are you any calmer about Tuesday night, or is it getting worse? Is it going to roll on to the weekend? How are you feeling? Pick up that phone. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Did you hear last night?
Oh, there's a new member of the Donut Club.
There is a new
here.
Member. The new president of the Donut Club is one Simon Donnelly.
Zero.
Oh, a wee man could fit through a donut
zero.
As well, couldn't
he? Unbelievable. And you know, the worst of it is there are two pundits that you don't want next to you.
Oh, big man.
If you're having a zero. You're one of them. I still think you're chief. Because you are a pest. An absolute pest. Anyone who knows you will testify to that. And you're very off-putting, but I do think a close second is Marvin. That big stupid laugh that he does. So as soon as Simon's head started to go, Marvin's laugh started to rise. And
was it all over the shot, was it?
It was a bad zero, I have to say.
Sad. We've all been there, mate.
No, we haven't.
You've not played yet this season.
No, I've not. But I know, I'll certainly not get a zero. I know that.
Oh, what? You've had a zero.
What are you, played 1-1?
Played 1-1-1.
Oh, sorry. Played 2-1-1.
Okay, yeah, then. Sorry. Okay. That, what I was really meaning, I played the last one I won.
50% record. Anyway.
Well, it's 101.
One of you is up against Nicola this evening. How are you, Nicola?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good stuff. Have you ever played before?
I haven't, no.
Nicola, and mother, will you, my daughter?
Dear, what a question. Well, what a question. Seriously. Don't answer that.
Legitimate daughter, you mean?
That's my daughter's name. Nicola and mother. Well, I've just seen it coming up there.
I'm thinking not.
Is Olivia in bed?
No, I'm definitely in the door. I look too much for my favour.
Alright,
oh, okay. Why'd you
do that to me? Why'd you do that? No.
You are from Motherwell. Have you ever had the misfortune of bumping into this guy at Asda or wherever else he hangs around?
I never have, but my partner and my brother have.
Brilliant. Well, listen.
Gordon, can I ask you a question?
What, Gordon?
You.
Right, okay, oh, Nicola. No. Yeah, what is it? That doesn't sound too good.
Have you been using Men for Black?
What?
Because your hair looks a wee bit darker, and I've noticed you're a wee bit of grey in your hair.
Oh, it's more than a wee bit. It's
grey? I'm like Santa Claus here. What are you talking about?
It's lit up under these studio lights.
Are you watching on YouTube?
Have you used Just for Men? Of course I watch on YouTube.
Just for Men? I'm greyer than Santa Claus and you're asking me if I'm wearing Just for Men?
Nicola's getting mixed up. You used to use Just for Men and then you stopped dramatically one summer.
Don't spread that.
Nicola, this one already.
I've got it.
She's come on.
Anyway, Nicola, you know the deal. If you're in the local area, if you beat him, he drops off the sign ball in
person. Listen,
personal,
even
right?
If she beats Mark, I'll drop the ball off. There you go, Nicola.
Happy with that, Nicola?
Oh, yourself, Dazzler.
You don't want this guy at your door, Nicola. Trust
That's
me.
A nerdy one. Go on yourself.
Right.
Go on yourself. Right, kid, let's go. I'm going to beat you.
I think she just called you Nicola. I'm really worried about it. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And I'm afraid it is heads, it's Mark. But you still drop the
go on yourself, Nicola.
I'm worried, right? Turn his mic off. Give Mark Wilson some greatest hits radio. Right, let's compose ourselves, Nicola. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okey-dokey.
Right, your time starts now. Who was Celtic manager last time they played in the Europa Conference League?
Pass.
Rangers defender Adam Devine went on loan to which Scottish Premiership team last season?
Motherwell.
What country are St Mirren's opponents SK Brann from?
Norway.
Who was the last Scotsman to win the FA Cup? Name either Scottish Premiership team currently on 0 points.
Rangers.
Who won the European Super Cup last night?
Real Madrid.
Okay, let's bring back Mark Wilson. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Same set of questions.
I'm worried
here.
I think she's getting a sud.
No.
They were easy questions today.
Well, let's see how hard Mark makes them look. 30 seconds. Look at the live stream tonight. That's really close up on you.
Why is that so close?
What an extraordinary close up that is. That new?
Let's zoom it.
You need a bit of clearasil in your face.
Is that a new Beat the Pundit feature for the new season?
Oh, look at that.
Which camera? That one there?
Just look at me. Okay. Ready. 30 seconds, Mark. Your time starts now. Who was Celtic manager the last time they played in the Europa Conference League?
Ange Postecoglou.
Rangers defender Adam Devine was on loan to which Scottish Premiership team last season?
St Johnson.
Which country are St Mirren's opponents SK Brann from?
Norway.
Who was the last Scotsman to win the FA Cup?
Maloney.
Name either Scottish Premiership team currently on 0 points.
Kilmarnock.
Who won the European Super Cup last night?
Real Madrid. Okay.
McTominay won the FA Cup one.
Nicola, what do you think? Have you done enough?
I've not got a clue. I think it was Rangway, Alex Ferguson. I never got that one in, but
Alex Ferguson. It wasn't a question with Alex Ferguson.
I don't remember her saying Alex Ferguson.
I think my chances are good here. I don't know what it is, but I think my chances might be good.
I've done my best. Come on.
I don't even remember you saying Alex Ferguson. I'm so.
No, I did say that's what I'm saying.
But when do you think you should have said it?
When I hear it.
I'm totally lost. Let's go through them. The Celtic manager the last time they played in the Conference League was not Alex Ferguson. It was Ange Postecoglou. Mark Wilson.
Goes
1-0 in front. However, Adam Devine was on loan at Motherwell last season. Nicola,
well done, Nicola.
Well done, Nicola.
Well done, Nicola. SK Branner from Norway, you both got it.
Well done, Nick.
None of you knew that Scott McTominay was the last Scotsman to win the FA Cup. Beat so we're city. Still level.
Dreadful for me that.
You both knew that Real Madrid won the Super Cup last season. So it's 3-3.
Did Nick get one more?
It all comes down to name either Premiership team currently on 0 points.
Kilmarnock
or Hibs. Nicola went for the funny answer. She went Rangers.
Alex Ferguson.
She went Rangers. Because she's a Celtic fan. They did win, unfortunately, against Motherwell.
Nicola.
You know what? I was closer than what I thought.
It was a 4-3. Nicola, I think you did all right. You just pipped you at the post. Hard lines.
Did I think at the
bar?
Well, let's think
not,
about
not
that
really
one.
Not the way it works, unfortunately.
Gordon, go for it.
Okay, go for it. Show up at my door. Where's my ball?
Nicola, hard lines. Give it another go sometime.
Oh.
What's happening?
No.
Nicola, don't give your exact address away. That's foolish. But which part of Motherwell are you from so I can tell him to head down?
I'm Gordon's partner that was on last week in Simon Donnelly beat him 5-4.
Oh, I remember that. Actually, there was a guy from Motherwell who
but
lived near your
part
sister.
Part of Motherwell.
They lived near your sister.
Oh, you live right across the road from my sister.
I know I do.
Oh, well, I'm glad you know that, because you didn't know the last question, did you?
Did you?
Hi, Kilmarnock.
Right, this is...
This is no Rangers.
It's spiralling out of control. Let's thank Nicola for her time. We move on and we try and get back to...
I know where Nicola exactly lives.
Right, great. Well, you can catch up some other time.
Need new blinds, Hen.
When the country's not listening. 01419511025. Please.
She's done all right.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought she was going to get a sid.
We are a good few minutes now into the second half. Kilmarnock still leading. Derek McInnes will be happy with that.
Yeah, it's been good for Kilmarnock tonight. As a result, I think they need just to kick off their season. They've had a difficult start to their season. Going there 1-1, you're thinking, oh, they could be knocked out here as well. They're doing okay defensively as well, so fingers crossed. And to be fair, I've got to be honest, I thought that St Mirren would have been out it by now. They're still in the tie, although they're chasing the game, they're still in the tie.
It would be a great result, you know, right up there with Derek McInnes' top results that he's had as a manager. When you look at budgets and where we are in the league to what he's put up with at the start of the season, to then go away from home and win in Europe must be right up there for him. But long way to go in this.
I had a good one though, no offence to Tromso, but he had a good one at Aberdeen, didn't he? Was it not Groningen? They went away and beat them.
Yeah, but in comparison, you think Aberdeen maybe closer to Groningen than where Kelly are.
Yeah, they went and beat them 2-1, didn't they, over there?
And off the back of the season that they had, you know, you look at the season previous to that where the finish was at about 10th and everybody thought they'd be in the bottom six again. They you know, did fantastically well. To follow up by getting through would be a brilliant scalp for them. But as I said, there's a lot to run in this game, and Tromso have came into it after Kelly scored, had so many chances. But they're holding out at the minute.
Is Kenny on the line? Can we bring in Kenny and see what he's thinking tonight?
Hi, yeah, I'm just speaking to the producer a minute ago about the yellow card situations. I think when you get a situation like you had the other night, you can't, as you said earlier on, involve the first yellow card no matter what happens. But if there's somebody watching VAR, another referee there, and they know the possibility of a red card when there's so many millions of pounds involved in the game, they really should be able to flag that up and say, you know, when it's a possibility of a red, that it's going to be a second yellow card causing a red, they need to be able to flag that up, because that's a disaster for Rangers. Cost them millions. If it's not to say they would definitely have, you know, win the match, who knows, but it certainly put them at a major disadvantage. There's no doubt about that, you know.
I know exactly why Kenny feels that way, and I think if you're a Rangers fan, you would. And then if your team's involved in another competition, when we're talking about like the rules though, or why and when they should be implemented. The fact that there was Champions League money on the line isn't really relevant, and I know that sounds really cruel, but whose needs more important than end? You know, you could get that decision in the Scottish Premiership, a team could get relegated, then they're laying off jobs because they're out the division, somebody could lose a cup because of it, somebody could, you know, there's always a consequence. And I know it was important for Rangers the other night, but I don't think that necessarily impacts whether or not they'll decide to bring that in, because you're not just bringing it in for Champions League playoffs. If you bring in the ability,
you've got to bring it in for everything.
If you bring in the ability to look at a second yellow card, then fine, I'm not against it. But if you bring it in, you're bringing it in for St Johnstone against Ross County in the Premiership as well. Yeah, that's
I don't see the problem with that. I think you quite rightly say it. I think 3 points or a point or relegation or promotion or whatever it may be, I think that it's got to be brought in. I think it is. Just been highlighted how important it is. I know that we keep on about the games long enough with VAR and how long the game takes, but decisions like that, and I totally agree with you saying you just can't bring it in for one competition, you've got to bring it in all across the board.
You can see the argument, can't you, for against it. You know, we spoke about it, yep. You know, the injustice of...
What do you do? And I know it's just a hypothetical, but... Do we not just think that we've fixed it until the next injustice comes around? Then we bemoan that. Like I say, flip them round the other way.
Yeah.
So what do you do then? Right, you've had a disgraceful first yellow card. You've barely went near the player. In fact, you've not even touched a player. You've been given a yellow, right? Mm-hmm. You then get a second yellow, which is nailed on. You've studied somebody halfway up the shin. You can review it, but you're still sent off.
Yeah, that's where my master plan.
That's too creative for me though. I'm talking about, you know, this fix about...
I think that's simple.
Why is that not simple? There aren't any challenges or anything.
See the first yellow...
No, but your two should be reviewed. Maybe you take away the challenge.
No, because your first yellow, even if it's wrong, you're still not off the pitch. Your second yellow is the most important one, right? Now, if you get...
But two yellows...
Don't make a red.
They do, so it doesn't matter which... It doesn't matter what's the most important once you get the two.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, in a scenario where... The first one say that we agree that it's not a yellow card, and the second one the lad slides in and wipes him out. You're not going to review that.
So then we're inundated with calls saying they should be able to review the first one.
If you're going to do that, you
need to review every yellow card.
I wouldn't have that rule. I would have the rule like that happened the other night there. If that leads to a sending off for that yellow, I think you've got to review it. And I think Kenny makes a brilliant point because he's a terrific caller. I've always liked him on this show.
I think you know Kenny, don't you?
Oh, I very do, yeah. And Kenny, I will be looking for my invite to Prestwick.
Oh, that's available whenever you want.
To the airport.
Let me know.
All right, Kenny, I'll get your... I don't know if I've still got your number, but I'll certainly
be... This is always the case. Look, I actually... It's not that I'm against this. It's just I don't like it when we present arguments as if it's going to be an easy fix, and we just we ignore then what the problems that will come down the line. We just move our feelings of injustice.
So
about.
You've got the opinion it should just stay there. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Not necessarily, but I think this notion that just everybody's shrugging their shoulders as if it's crazy. Boy, just review second yellows. That just leads to another problem as well. Mm. I don't think it's as easy as everybody's saying, that's all.
I don't think you review every yellow card. I think there's yellow cards out there that second yellows that everybody agrees, look, that's a straight. But the other night there, Gordon, that is...
I know, but you have to... When you're talking about a rule change, you almost have to separate yourself from the other night.
I know, but
and just imagine
it
played out in every single mundane
but
circumstance.
But you're not going to review every second yellow card.
Of course you would.
But well, they're clear and obvious yellow cards that you're going to get sent off for.
No, but
for instance, if somebody's running through and they pull them back and it's a yellow card...
You would still review it, though.
The second one.
You would still review it.
I think, of course, you would.
You do a red or a goal.
But I think that what the rule and people are saying is if it's like that and you've got VAR whispering in somebody's ear, look, I think you made a terrible mistake here, then I think you've got to review it.
Sounds a bit like we're kind of just... picking and choosing when we do things, kind of making up as we go along slightly.
Or we just stick to what the situation is and we say Rangers were unlucky against the decision. They make the decisions that people don't agree with further down the line. That's the way it is in football.
I know I'm probably stating the obvious, it's built on everybody's assumption, and I agree that if the VAR looked at that, he would overturn his decision. Maybe he wouldn't. Maybe wouldn't. You know, we all act like that's fact. Maybe wouldn't.
Oh, come on.
Listen, I agree with you. I don't think that's a foul. I don't think that's a booking. But the ref does at the time. Yeah. And we've had VAR for years. I still see some really, really puzzling decisions with VAR.
Yeah, and I totally agree with what you say, but I would...
I would be
amazed if anybody looked at that again and thought, that's a yellow card.
Me too, but have you never been amazed at a refereeing decision?
Not as amazed as I would be amazed.
The highest level of amazement.
That would be the amazement.
Right. Kenny, what's the overall feeling heading into this weekend?
Well, I think just what you said earlier on was that just a minute ago was that I agree that I meant to point out that it has to be regarded through all levels of football. You can't just, obviously the lower leagues have got VAR, so you kind of do it. But all the top leagues in Europe have got it, and you know they should be able to. As you say, I think for me it's quite simple. I do realise you cannot do no matter what the first yellow card is, whether it's soft or hard or whatever, it's that second one. And if it's dubious, there should be somebody that can say to the ref, if you better look at this. That's all.
I think the majority of people, for what it's worth, agree. And I keep saying this. It's not that I disagree. I just don't like how we present things as if it's that simple. And it would probably bring about another problem. Kenny, can you find it within yourself to be excited or looking forward to the Cup this weekend, or have Rangers and their stadium and their referees sort of worn you down?
The stadium situation is a complete disaster. It really is. I mean, what I don't understand, you might be able to answer this question. I've not heard anybody talk about this yet. Now, obviously, somebody got the sack for the mistakes were made in the purchase, on the ordering and purchasing of the materials and whatever. But had Rangers decided not to do this work during the closed season earlier on, would they have been still allowed to play at Ibrox, or was it a health and safety issue that said you've got to do these repairs or we won't let you use Ibrox?
As far as I know, no, it was Rangers' choice to improve disabled facilities. It was work they chose to go on, yeah.
So why is it Rangers cannot play at Ibrox? Did they start dismantling the place?
Again, logistically, I'm not sure exactly how that works. You're able. What so you mean? Like play with that stand closed?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then how many fans are you locking out? Then what do you do with them?
I understand that, but there's a whole lot of fans don't like going to Hampden because it really isn't a great place to go and watch, and it's awkward to get in and out of because the traffic can be a nightmare, as you know.
I suppose in theory, Mark, midweek. Wouldn't have been on season ticket. This weekend won't be in season ticket, so that's where you see a real drop off. But in theory, Rangers have a lot of season ticket holders. Hampden's got a similar capacity, and it should allow everyone to transfer over. Yeah. If you go and suddenly play with one empty stand, if you're even allowed to, that sounds like a nightmare as well.
Well, a nightmare for fans not getting to see the game. But in terms of revenue, what do you need to do? Do you need to refund them for certain games? And you know, football clubs need all the money they can get. So Rangers are right to try and maximise what they're bringing into the club and maximise the fans they can get in the stadium. In theory, it sounds like a decent point, but not quite.
Kenny, you make some fair points, but we'll have to leave it there. I'm a bit late, in fact, more than a bit late for this break. 01419511025. Join in now. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, it's that time of the night when Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, your favourite duo, team up and try and tackle the full-time teaser. Thanks to Alan and Coleraine for sending this one in. Quite straightforward. Can you name the six British managers who've won the English Premier League Manager of the Season award? So there are only six British managers, apparently, according to Alan and Coleraine, who've won the English Premier League Manager of the Season award. Can you name them?
Fergie must be one.
Only 11 times for him, yeah.
Here's one, David Moyes.
Nope.
Well, I thought Moyes would have been up there as well.
British.
Correct.
British.
Brendan Rodgers won it?
No.
No.
He has not.
Oh, Kenny Dalglish.
Yes, Blackburn Rovers when they won the league.
Souness?
No.
No.
Any more?
Give us a second.
Quick. Three, two, one.
Nah, give us some time right. to mull over this.
We'll move on. Six British managers who've won the English Premier League Manager of the Season award. Thank you to Alan and Corain for the question. And if you fancy sending a question, we'd like that. So please do send it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Kelly's still one up. Can they hold on? Do they need to try and get a second? Or is it getting to that stage where you start worrying about managing it more the other way, Mark?
I think they'll probably be getting to that stage that they'll be thinking, we'll hang on to what we've got here. Like I said at the start, Derek's got an awful lot of attacking players on the pitch. Or they started with a lot of attacking players on the pitch. He must be thinking about shutting up shop here because he's gave up a lot of possession, and sometimes you need to do that in the continent. That's fine because the style European teams have. But you just don't want to start having gaps and those wide players staying wide and there's gaps through the middle of you. So I would think he would be looking to tighten up. Of course, that brings at risk, though, Gordon, when you start tightening up and they score and you've withdrew some of your more attacking players. It's a fine balance to get right, and Derek's hugely experienced. He's been in Europe before, so Kelly fans will be hoping he gets it right, but the pressure's starting to build a wee bit.
St Mirren only 1-0 down. They went 1-0 down very early. Bran were very good last week. Everyone maybe thought that was heading in a worrying direction. It's still one and they're creating chances. They had one about 5 minutes or so ago, so you never know. Stephen Robinson's side might be able to dig this one out like they did last week. They've thrown on Mandron, Taylor, Iacovite there, a triple change. I think Ocean Smith came on not so long ago and had a chance. So we'll see. We'll see how this one ends. Let's bring in John, who's in Gran Canaria, of all places. How are you, John? Hi, John. Can you hear us?
Hi, sorry, Gordon.
No, you're fine. You're all good. My all good. Take it away.
So, listen, just hello, Gordon. Gordon, Mark, big fan of the show. Thanks so much for having my call.
Well, great to have you, John.
No, what it was just like I was listening to a rival show this morning. It was actually talking about Kieran McKenna, and obviously that's Ipswich, which is massive sort of improvement, and just every player was talking about, you know, the dynamic the guy brings. He's obviously so young, and how well the team's done, and they say literally they owe everything to him. And what I was saying just before I came on was the fact that 6-7 months ago, so my first time caller, and you know, 6-7 months ago, I'm a Rangers supporter, and everybody was talking about Philip Clement. When he made substitutions, like the players would come off and he would cuddle them and he would like give words of support, and you know, really, really, and every Rangers supporter was saying this is a dynamic that we've never seen before. And obviously after the other night, and even, you know, the Motherwell game, whatever it might be, something's changed. You know, when you talk about Todd Cantwell, you know, had, you know, been the team, Lundstrom going. And I know it's maybe a bit early, I get that, but has he maybe lost the dressing room? You know, the fact that he's not got that, you know, he's cuddling everybody and he's making everybody feel good and stuff. And it was just to see what the panel thought of that, because obviously, Mark and the Dazzle have been in management before, and for me that's really important. That dynamic seems to have changed quite considerably.
I think the simple answer for me in that one is, there's been a manager and obviously been a player, when new managers coming in, you try and make the best impression for your players, because quite often you're coming into a club that's been the downward spiral. Maybe the atmosphere isn't so good in the club, people feeling down about themselves, so you try and inject, you know, a bit of happiness about the place, and you try and get your personality across and make everybody feel welcome. And I think Clement did that, and he's not the only one. There'll be other managers you'll see doing that. Of course, it's like anything or a relationship. The longer you go and the more you get to know people and you get to know each other's personalities, you maybe just don't get along.
Mirren have equalised.
Oh, on the buddies.
Absolutely. Yeah, delighted at that. Hopefully they can kick on and get a winner. I'll tell you more about it in just a second, but you carry on, sorry Mark.
Well, just saying that the longer you get to know each other, managers and players, and maybe you don't see eye to eye, because remember, you're seeing each other every day in training. You see some managers and coaches and players more than you do your family sometimes.
Is there a And is that, no, is that an equaliser for Tromso, what you're pointing
at? Offside.
Is there a possibility, John, that, and now we've got the benefit of hindsight, maybe people were just sort of giving too much weight to the cuddles and the high fives in the first place? You know that way when a manager comes in and things are going well, you then start picking up on these micro details and say, oh, look how good this is, look at the hug. Maybe they didn't matter that much in the first place. Or are you sure something's definitely changed?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, the manager goes out, and as Mark made a great point there about you go in and you try and make your impact in the situation. I think for me, you know, I've been a manager, not football, actually retail, and body language is a massive part of it. And you can see the difference when we made substitutions 5, 6, 7 months ago when Clement first came in, about the guys coming off, and it's totally different now. They come off, the shoulders are slumped. Clement, quite often, and I watch this all the time, is he doesn't make eye contact with the players. And for me, when the club now is in a bit of a downward slump, then that's when you look at your experience and say, right, I've came in and I've tried to make an impact. Now we're fighting to get where we need to be. That's the time that a manager should fight and say, right, actually now is the time that when guys come off, if they've had maybe know their best 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, whatever it might be, I know it's a soft term, but maybe that's the time that they need a cuddle or eye contact or a word they need to say, you know, We'll pick ourselves up and we'll get on with it.
The only thing I'd say about that, John, maybe style's changed a little bit. Maybe he's doing that on a day-to-day basis in the training ground. Maybe he's doing that after a game. Maybe he's doing, you know, a half-time or whatever. I've not really noticed, and I don't really get caught up in, is he giving them a handshake and a cuddle on the way off? I think a manager at that level's got a lot to concentrate on as well. I know he done it at first, and the Rangers fans really bought into it. As far as going as losing the dressing room, no, I'm not going down that road. I still think he comes out and defends his players publicly in the press and everything. So there's one or two things being fixed at Ibrox, and I think everybody would agree.
Alex Iacoviti with that equaliser for St Mirren. When I saw the change and read it out, I thought, I don't know if he's the one that's been sent on to score the equaliser, but fair enough, he's popped up with the goal in that one. John, so you think, we've had some criticism from your fellow Rangers fans about Philippe Clement tactically in the last couple of weeks, but you think it's more a man management issue than a tactical one?
No, I don't. I don't think he's lost the dressing room, but you've commented and I've commented that we've seen a different dynamic to him when players come off. So there's got to be something behind the scenes with that. I'm just going to echo what every Rangers player said. You know, we've got Cherney, that, you know, Gordon, you lamented perfectly about the split between if he plays 50 minutes at the start of the game or 30 minutes and, you know, another second half. I think that's absolutely, I don't understand it. Play our best team at the start of the match and we should win. It was disappointing, you know, most of my family, obviously I'm on holiday, but most of my family were at Hampden for the game. And they said it was a totally different atmosphere. But, you know, things definitely didn't go right. And I'll just lament the rest of what the Rangers sport have said, that, you know, we should play the best team that we possibly can. Finally, why Cantwell and Hadji, you know, are you know, insignificant, and why Danilo just sits on the bench baffles me. So I'll just, you know, it's just, I'm the same as
that. It is like a list, isn't it? It is a list with Hampden, I think, at the top of that list, and then sort of general recruitment below that. But then, where's Cantwell? Where's Hadji?
Well, we know where Cantwell is.
Where's Danilo? Where's Igmani?
Yeah.
Danilo's limp or whatever it was the other night. There is this long list of things that the Rangers fans just seem to be trying to
see when you're winning and things,
you know, Cherney's fitness,
yeah,
and so on.
When you're winning, things are going right, nobody picks up these small things, right? But I totally agree with John. The Cherney one baffled the life out of me, right? And I know all this arguments, sports science, I'm not buying into that at all. There's no way you're telling me he couldn't have started that game. Now, Also, you touched on it, Danilo, £5.5 million striker. He's sitting on the bench and you're needing a goal to stay in the Champions League. He's not had any game time. Now, we've seen the video. If the lad's injured, right?
No, Philippe, again, one of these only in Scottish football discussions. Philippe Clement has pointed out he just walks like that.
Right, okay.
And since then, Rangers fans and others have found videos of him, to be fair, and I can't believe I've got an empty enough life that I've watched them all. At PSV, walking around, when he first arrived at Rangers, he kind of just walks like that. Okay. So we might need to, but right, that doesn't take away from that doesn't take away from.
I walk funny as
go
well.
Go walk across just to see how you walk.
I walk funny.
That doesn't take away, obviously, from the more serious footballing point, is he has played zero competitive minutes this season. And why is that?
Yeah. Well, only the manager can answer that. It baffles me because you're asking Dessers, who come in for a little bit of criticism the other night for Rangers fans, to go for the full game all the time. Now, he's got a guy there. What's the point of having a £5.5 million striker? And then what you do to add insult to that, you put Proper up the pitch and when the game's run away for you, which I think that's where the question marks come in against Clement. I think Clement's come into Rangers. I think he's done a good job. I think he's got a lot of support. They've given him a new extra year's contract. That baffled me as well. They gave him a new extra year's contract. Fine, they wanted to have this togetherness. Okay, we'll go with that. But there's one or two questions now that Rangers fans are now sitting back and saying, well, where's our style of play? Why in the biggest game of the season are we not playing our strongest team? Why have we got a £5.5 million striker on the bench that's had 0 minutes? You know, so there's a lot of questions now that Rangers fans, and the manager's got to answer them. I'm not saying he's under pressure by any matter of means, but he's got to start answering the questions.
Thank you, John. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Kilmarnock are hanging on a bit here, 10 minutes to go, and they've got some defending to do, but hopefully they can, and hopefully St Mirren can go and grab a winner. So we'll keep an eye on things between now and the end of the show. On your teaser, can you name 6 British managers who've won the English Premier League Manager of the Season?
I'm going to go for Harry Redknapp.
Yep, you've got Sir Alex, Kenny Dalglish, and now Harry Redknapp.
What about Sam Allardyce?
No, you've got 3 to get, and we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ah, oh, it's heartbreak for St Mirren. Bran have scored right at the end. Maybe 5 minutes or so left, but it's a long road back that after a tough night out there. 2-1 down, St Mirren. They've done so well to level it. Kilmarnock, on the other hand, are still 1-0 up. They've just passed up a golden chance through Kyle Vassell. They've been up against it in the second half. A lot of defending. Vassell was gifted the ball. It was passed to him by a Tromso defender inside the box, but he tried to almost step over the ball to let it come through him to get a finish away, and it did not work out. So hopefully Kilmarnock don't come back to that doesn't come back to bite Kilmarnock. But it does look like St Mirren, is that, Can they do it again? Can they find yet another?
Well, they've got great spirit. They're well organised. They've got a good manager. Let's hope they can, Gordon. It was always going to be a big task. See, to be fair, to get to this point, getting back to 1-1, that's a terrific achievement. As I say, I was very impressed with them. St Mirren away from home. Fingers crossed. And Kilmarnock should have really sealed the deal, but they're still under a little bit of pressure, but hopefully they can see it out.
That was a long way of saying no. Can they come back? He painted that so well. They've got a lot of spirit in. Are they going to come back? No. That's him. Done and dusted.
You can't just say no.
Just be honest instead of what spirit they've got.
We're in the
fantastic. We don't get through with spirit.
We're in the game of entertainment. We've got to build it up.
Oh, it's 3-1 now.
No, they can't come back.
What timing? What happened to the spirit?
The spirit has been broken, unfortunately.
They'll be on the spirit tonight, man. try to get over that result.
Oh, the prices in Norway.
No, thanks. I know that.
Okay, that's a no then.
We'll take it as a no.
Let's move on.
Let's just quickly play the Adam Eder clip that we tried to bring you earlier, and we did some volume issue. Here is what he said about living up to the price tag.
I'm here to play football. You know, it wasn't my choice of the fee. I'm coming here now. I want to score as many goals as I can, be really successful, and just crack on. You know, I don't think there's much pressure on me with the fee. Like I said, I wasn't the one that asked for that. I'm here to play games and win football games. It doesn't really faze me. I only found out just a while ago that was the case. It's the price tag. I'm here to play football, and regardless of how much a player is, I still have the same goal and same drive to do the best I can for this club and be as successful as we can.
Yeah, I agree with him.
You said that you're not buying into the price tag.
I wouldn't be too concerned now about the price tag. It's done.
Obviously, that'll never catch on. He will. Him and Brendan Rodgers they're the professionals, and they'll be focused on it. But to everybody else, I guarantee you, we will mention his price tag many times throughout this season, whether in a good, positive sense or a negative.
Because it's not often that we, as a country in Scottish football, go and pay nine. Well, it's not nine.
You just did it with Danilo, though. Apparently, it's now worse that Danilo's sitting on the bench because of what he cost. He just did it.
Okay, well, I don't care if Danilo cost £1 million a striker.
Why do you keep mentioning it then?
He was brought in, because once again, it adds a little bit to the story.
It's drama.
Exactly.
It's a storyteller. It's a show.
You can't just go playing. People don't want to listen to that. They want to hear the facts. Look, he's been brought in for a hefty price, right? But I do believe it's a very good signing. It's one that Brendan Rodgers has waited a bit of time for, a bit of patience from Celtic. They've got their man, and I'm sure he'll be a big asset to Celtic.
I tell you, when he'll be paying attention, when he picks up his wage slip and he sees the percentage of the transfer fee he's getting.
If that's the way it works, I'm sure he will.
Yeah, well, it used to be at least 10%. I don't know if things have moved on since then, but he'll certainly know then.
It's not 10% now.
No. More than that. It's a man in the know.
He's trying to rebrand himself as some in the know
super agent. What's the guy called that knows everything that doesn't sleep?
Me, DL.
You?
Fabrizio Romano.
This guy's trying to challenge his empire.
I'm up at 4 a.m. doing my homework.
You're up at 4 a.m, but that's not what you're doing. Exactly. Let's bring in Archie, who's a Rangers fan. Take it away, Archie.
Good evening, Jeremy.
Good, you?
I was listening to everything. I mean, as you were talking about, Edgar, and there's so many different things going on. Edgar, so what are you talking about first? Kind of hanging on. And obviously, we get put down in the third division. We were sort of meant to start again and put in proper foundations this time and be responsible with money and just start again. But it's been a calamity to get up to the Premiership, to be honest with you. But, I was reading something, and it's total, my same opinion I had. What we're doing at Ibrox is we're rewarding things that don't deserve to be rewarded. And I think the level, we need to raise the bar a bit, but we're getting a manager who's won a League Cup. Gordon just said, you think he's done a good job, right? That league was there for the taking last season, right? They threw it away. He's won a League Cup, which is nothing. And you've gave a guy a contract to 2028. If Celtic won a treble this year, I won another double. Will fans want the manager to go and they need to pay him for another year and cost themselves fortunes. And I think the board and the scouting system, my scouting system is diabolical. It really is diabolical. When you look at whether into the city, they've probably got the best scouting system in the UK, the money they get. But there's so many different. You've got Yilmaz, for me, injured again. He's with Forrest Gump. All he does is get a ball. He just runs with the ball with Forrest Gump. And again, I don't want to mention Taft just quickly, but again, you're rewarding people that don't deserve to be rewarded. You're rewarding failure at Ibrox. A League Cup, you get a new contract. A captain who's a serial loser, keep the captaincy. We're rewarding things that don't deserve to be rewarded. And it's still the same Rangers. We're an absolute laughing stock. And it's when we protect the business stuff. It's just, I think the top to bottom, the club is just so badly run in every single level. And where do you begin with playing? See, like Butlin, you were talking about, I think did have a meeting with the board or something about their ambition and different things. And that's a big guy who, I would get the captaincy to, I had the captaincy at Murrayfield, and he seems to have a bit of passion and he's wanting to do it, but he seems to be the only one in that part. If I look at that whole team, he seems to be the only one that has something about him. The captain is just walking about with his head down, despondent, and that's, I don't want to say too much, because, but it's just, top to bottom, it's an absolute embarrassment, and it's just, it's no Glasgow Rangers anymore. It's terrible.
You wonder how that picture improves. What would that look like? Have Rangers fans now totally made their peace, every one of them, that they won't win the league this season, and therefore is it enough to just show a bit, you know, get close, ruffle Celtic up a bit like they did last season? I don't know, is that enough? Because when the bar comes down to where it appears to be in the minds of Archie and other Rangers fans, you know, sneaking past St Johnstone in the cup at the weekend is not going to fix it. You know, it then just rolls on, and of course there's a big game against Celtic not too far away. Are they expecting to win that? Probably not. But if it was to be a heavy one, it just adds. If this is a sort of malaise that's set in over a long period of time, as Archie alleges, it's going to take a long time to fix. Then presumably, so yeah. What are you doing that in the most impatient footballing city in the world?
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's what angers the Rangers fans, because deep down inside they're probably sitting there knowing that they're probably got to play second fiddle to Celtic this season again, and that's something they just cannot stomach, but that's the way it is just now. There's a lot going on at Ibrox, it needs fixed.
Right, thank you Archie. Hopefully we'll get a full time whistle. Samirin are out, I think it's clear to say they're the 3-1 down, Kelly 1-0 up. It should be over in the next few seconds. Speaking of which, 6 British managers who've won the English Premier League Manager of the Season: Sir Alex, Kenny Dalglish, Harry Redknapp. 3 more.
Wilkinson. Harold Wilkinson. No. Oh,
Padru.
Padru. Pardew.
Pardew.
Yeah, he's won it.
Tony Pulis.
He's won it.
Yes.
Well done. Is that 6?
Last one's a Scotsman as well. 2000-2001 season.
No.
Went on to be a Scotland manager.
No, McLeish.
Burley. George Burley.
Oh no, George, no,
remember Ipswich flying that season. Sorry, thank you, Mark and Gordon. I'm going to hang on, I'm going to pad for just about as long as I can to see if we can get a full time whistle over in Norway for Kilmarnock. I don't think we can, because they've got a set piece to defend, and it's going to rumble on. Find out tomorrow. Try and stay away and find out tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We'll see you then. Hugh Evans is back. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.